welcome to today's IBM Tivoli Talk, new IBM Tivoli System Automation for ZOS version 3.2 overview conference call. Today's call is being recorded, and now at this time for opening remarks, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Walter Schuppen. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning or good afternoon, wherever you are in the world. As already said, my name is Walter Schuppen, and I'm a member of the System Automation Development Team. Today, I'd like to talk about the new release of System Automation that was released mid of last week. The release is 3.2, and I'd like to give you an overview about what is in that release. I'm on slide 2 now, and that is the agenda. First of all, I'd like to talk a little bit about what 10 reasons why system automation might be important for you and or your customers. Then I will switch gears and talk about our OmegaMon interoperation, what we did there. And finally, I will give you an update on the migration and coexistence issues that might exist or the ability that you have there. And finally, I will wrap it up with a short summary. On slides, but before I start with deeping into some of the functions that are provided in 3.2, I like to give you an idea about the focus areas that are covered by 3.2. In fact, there are four areas that we heavily invested in. First of all is tying automation with performance monitoring, the power of automation combined with the power of monitoring is a very important aspect for data centers. And that is what we did. We had already integration with some of the OmegaMons in the past, in particular with the classics. We now went one step further, providing integration with OmegaMon XA as well as with KixFlex SM. And I have more details on that while I proceed. Another area where we are integrating with is within incident management. And in particular here, it's the integration with SAIOM. SAIOM is the new kit within the system automation family. It provides, among others, output automation as well as consolidation. But one of the new functions that is within SAIOM is something which is called alert escalation. That function allows you to notify a subject matter expert in case a severe error situation occurs. It's then IOM that, based on some policy definitions, makes a decision who to notify, how to notify, and when to notify. And on the now on the SA side, what we have done is we provided some interface to communicate and interface with SIOM. So in case a severe error situation occurs, as detected by SACOS, that information is then forwarded to IOM, and IOM then is in fact then carrying out the alert to the appropriate recipient. The second area where we heavily invested in is what I call here simplified consumability. In the past, I would have called it ease of use enhancements. It's making the product easier, especially for our key users. There are two key users that we have within the product. One of them is the operator, and the other key user is the automation administrator. And while I proceed, you will notice what kind of enhancements which we have made here. Focusing on customer needs is another area where we invested in. We addressed in this release about 60 user requirements that we have received over the last several years. And I will explain or talk about some of them in within the next 1 hour. Reducing competitive migration pains for customers might be an area that is of no interest for you, since you, in most cases, are already using system automation. But in the situation where a customer decides that system automation might be the better product for him, That is where we are going to help to minimize the, first of all, the migration time it takes up to the point where system automation is up and running, and secondly, to make it easier for him to move to SA. Because moving to a competitive product such as maybe SA ZOS is always a major effort. And we do that in several areas. First of all, it's a policy approach that we are taking. Secondly, it's the provision of what we call of sample policies that make it easier for customers to step in and make use of system automation. Slide number 4 gives you an overview about the various, what I call, integration points that system automation has between SA as well as other Tivoli products, for example, TBSM or TEC. And you see that there is a whole variety of products that system automation interfaces with. There are several bubbles that have a red flag on it, and these are enhancements that we have made within the last 1.5 years. These enhancements are based on top of SA3.1 and of course has been incorporated into the new SA3.2 release. Let me give you a little update on that, or overview what enhancements that we have made. Let me start from the right. We, in mid of last year, we enhanced our support with TWS. We had already since many releases some interoperation with TWS, but with this, what you can do with this support is to specify complete SA and or NetView commands within a TWS plan, and then tell SA to execute that command, and depending on what the command output is or how the command finished, to return that information back to TWS so that TWS can continue in their plan processing. It's a really neat interface that was introduced mid of last year. More or less at the same point in time, we made some enhancements to GDPS in two areas. One of them is making the installation as well as the customization of GDPS easier as far as NetView and or SA is concerned. We introduced something which is called the tower statement, though by simply coding tower equals GDPS, under the cover, SA went ahead and included all of the necessary NetView as well as SA definitions that are needed in order to run GDPS on top of SA. The second area where we made enhancements in was providing a kind of full screen support for user entry type definitions. For those of you who are familiar with GDPS, a great deal of definitions needs to be done by means of user entry type pair definitions. You basically use user entry type pairs to define how GDPS should react in certain error situations, for example, when a site takeover needs to be done. In the past, that was a cumbersome kind of definition that one had to do. But now with the support where we provide full screen-like support for UETs, it's a lot more easier. That support was also introduced last year. On the left, you see the tab support. We are, since early this year, we are feeding information about SA automated and controlled resources into the tab so that it can be made visible there. That support was introduced in spring this year. You see also bubbles that have an asterisk on top of it, for example, Omega Mon as well as Kixplex SM. That is support that we added in 3.2, and more about that later. On the top of that slide, you see a bubble which has a white background color and is in dotted, and is shown in dotted, and that is our CCMDB support. As you see there, the dashed line should indicate that support is not yet there, but it will be available pretty soon. So the idea here is that information about SA resources, as SA knows about them, will be automatically discovered and then forwarded into the configuration change management database. So, slide 5. Now, let's now proceed to slide 5, where I like to start with why System Automation 3.1 might be important for you and or your customers. But before I do that, I need to tell you some facts. 3.2 will be based on or prereqs ZOS 1.7. The reason why we have picked 1.7 is actually artificial. It's a point where we had targeted our GA. That was the latest and the oldest ZOS release still in service and in marketing. That's why we picked ZOS 1.7. As far as NetView is concerned, it's a little bit different here. The prereq is NetView 5.1. Our developers are exploiting with some of the newer functions provided in 3.2 some functions that are only available in NetView 5.1. And that is the reason why we are prereqing 5.1. GA, as I already said, was on December the 14th, though it's now a couple of days available. Slide number 6 now starts with giving you 10 reasons why SA is so important for you. By the way, I failed to mention that some of the slides have animation, though in order to see now each of the individual points I'm going through, you have to click the up or down button. Point number 1 talks about integrating with the IBM monitoring product. I mentioned already earlier that the combination of automation product as well together with the monitoring product builds an unbeatable alliance for the operation of a data center. In particular, the integration is with OmegaMon XA as well as with KixPlex SM, and I have more details on this one. Integrating with OmegaMon XA means from the SA ZOS perspective that we are interfacing via a SOAP server with the Tivoli Enterprise Management Server for two purposes. One of them is to pull out data that is contained in the TEMS, but second, to manipulate situations. For those of you who are a little bit familiar with OmegaMon XA, XA talks about situations that indicate an exceptional situation. And via a new interface that I will describe later, an installation script can manipulate the situation. For example, they can activate or deactivate the situations and things like that. But alternatively, there is, via the new interface, there is also an easy way to pull out information, data from the TEMS, and that data can then be used to drive either other automation or to react to certain error situations. Point number 2 is our integration with System Automation for IOM in order to alert or inform subject matter expert in case a severe error situation occurs. That alerting happens via different or various notification methods that SAIOM provides support for. These notification methods are, first of all, voice, pager, email, or via SMS. SMS is in Europe stands for short message service, and I guess you refer to it as instant messaging. And as already said, the interface is such that if a certain error situation is detected within System Automation Z, and based then on policy definitions that you have made within SAZOS, that information is then forwarded or hand over to IOM to let IOM then push out an alert. Point 3 is making the policy definition easier. And first of all, we are going to provide nested class support. Already in the past, SAZOS provided class support, allowing you to have class definitions where certain definitions for a resource are made, and then the instance definitions where all of the information that are specified in the class will be automatically inherited. Now with 3.2, we went one step further. We provide nested class support, which makes it easier for you to set up a policy. For example, you might have a class definitions for your IMS applications, then another class underneath of that for your various IMS types, for example, the master region versus dependent regions, and then finally on the instance level you have your various IMS resources. And a second area where we invested heavily in is sample policies. We started with that activity last release, where we restructured our sample policies and placed them into what I call best practices. Though they are no longer samples, they reflect best practices. Even though you might not using them, you can take a look at them and see how the system automation development team is tackling certain automation scenarios to see things like that. And you see also the latest technology implemented in these sample policies. About two releases ago, we started with an activity or initiative which I call the import function. The import function is of benefit when you are in a merger situation. You have multiple policy databases that you want to merge into one, or even if you want to split them. Importing means taking out data from one policy database and moving them or copying them into another policy database. In the past, you could do that for application definitions as well as for application groups. With 3.2, you can do that also now for the system and or for the group object. What that means is that all definitions that are underneath to the system object or the group object will be automatically copied as well. Though actually it's a simple fingertip, you select a system object and everything which is related to that system object will be automatically imported into the target policy database. Of course, that will only be done if that particular detail element or detail object is not already in the target policy. A very nice function. File update is another area that we started about two releases ago with, and the idea behind here is that we will eventually retire the migration function. The migration function has certain deficiencies. For example, first of all, it's a very old function. It's very error prone. You cannot use them for information or for definitions that are related to the automation manager. And that's why we started about two releases ago with a function which we call file update. With this release, we enhanced the file update function so that you can now do that also for application groups as well as for user entry type pairs. Point 4, and you see that by clicking on the page up or down button, shows areas that apply to the automation administrator. First of all, there is a new function that we call the availability and recovery time reporting. During the life of an application, or more generally speaking, a resource, there are four important events. these four events or these points are when the resource is started, which in most cases is indicated when a start order is sent out by the automation manager. The second important point is when the resource becomes active. In other words, the up signal is received by the agent. The third important event is when the automation manager is sending out the stop order. And finally, the fourth important event is when the resource is becoming down. At these four events, now we are going to put out SMF records. And these SMF records can then be used or will automatically contain important information about the life cycle of the resource. For example, how long it took to start up the resource, how long it took to shut down the resource, how long the resource was down, or how long the resource was active. Well, talking about SMF records, you might now say, what the heck is that important for? MVS or Job Control is doing that since 30 years, and you are right. But the point here is that MVS is only doing it for jobs that are related to an address space. We are doing it also for any kind of resource managed by system automation, as well as for application groups. Now envision that you might have a very important, a critical business application that is described by an application group within the SA policy. Now by writing SMF records for that application group, you have a clear report how long it took, how long the critical application was active, when it was started, when it was shut down, and all of that. We provide an API to access resource information, and we do that that API for that can be used within REC scripts and or the automation table. In the past, what customer did is they queried the content of the SAC globals in order, for example, to obtain the status of the resource. This was not officially allowed, and we always were telling customers that this is not an official interface. And what we now do is with this API, and I have a slide later on how it works, we provide an official way that makes it very easy for you to obtain certain resource attributes in an easy way, so that can be used from within a REC script and or the automation table. We are also providing a new monitoring routine for MVS subsystems. And I'm explicitly saying MVS subsystems. There are certain MVS subsystems that are not related to an address space. And if for such subsystems, our standard monitoring routines, which are stepping through the address space control blockchain, are not working, that is why we added a new monitoring routine that explicitly handles that situation. MVS subsystems that are not associated with the subsystems, these are not IBM subsystems, but they are coming from our beloved friends from Computer Associated. They have things like that. And now with their support, we are also handling them. Slide number 7, and you need to click on it to see what we did to make automation easier. First of all, we provide improved high availability, and we do that in two areas. One of them I called Smart Move. And please click on it on the page up bottom. And you see an example of what I mean with it. If it comes to application move, it basically means to stop the instance of the application on the running instance on the active system, and then eventually and then starting it on another system. That is what application move is all about. With SmartMove, now we changed the algorithm how we are going to do that. So rather than stopping the application and once it is shut down, starting it on another system, what we do is we first of all we determine on what system the application should run, and then we make sure that all of the prerequisites are satisfied. That means that all of the parent resources are in a satisfactory state before we are going to shut down the currently active resource. The consequence out of this is that the downtime for the applications, of course, has been shortened because it only now contains time to start the resource on the designated system. Reduces prolonged downtime means by means of policy definitions, you can indicate that if you are going to shut down the system, that once the system is down, that the application is automatically moved to an alternative system. You do that by means of defining for the application group the appropriate preference values for the individual system. It turns out, however, that the trigger when to start moving it, the application, was when the system left the sysplex. There are customers that started to complain about that because they were in situations where it took more than half an hour to shut down the system and eventually doing the very XCF offline. And for that period of time, the application wasn't running on any of the other systems. Now with reduced prolonged downtime, what we now do is we immediately, as soon as the operator enters the equivalent of a shut with all, we immediately move the application to another system. So we no longer wait till the system has left the sysplex. Extended status commands is an extension of S. The bullet says it's an extension of the status command. Status commands are commands that are automatically executed when the resource reaches a particular status. With extended status commands, we are going one dimension further or one step further. Now you can define commands to be executed that will be triggered when another resource has either become active or has become inactive. More about that later while I proceed. On-demand default desired status is giving you more flexibility for initially starting resources. In the past, when you are IPLing your system, system automation attempted to start up all of the resources. Yeah. There was a default make available vote automatically initiated or by the automation manager. However, in certain situations, customers didn't want that, and the only way to deal with that or to cope with that situation was defining an option called start on IPL equals no. That option, however, had some downsides. Some of that because it caused to bring the resource in a control down status, and a control down status caused a problem compound status in the automation manager, and that again then causes to show the resource in SDF and or in NMC in red. And that's something operators didn't want. Though now with the on-demand default desired status, we give the installation the flexibility to indicate that at IPL time the resource shouldn't be brought up. It should only be brought up when the operator enters a start request. Minor resource thresholds, for those of you who have one of the features, the IMS or the CICS features active, there was already minor resource threshold support when using these features. For example, you could specify a critical threshold when a particular transaction abandoned within a certain time interval n times so that you could stop or deactivate that transaction. What we have now done, with the activities of moving the features more and more into the base, we provide minor threshold support also within the base function. Point number six is making the operator lives easier. Two areas where we did that. First of all, and I spoke already briefly about that, the IMS feature integration has been done in this release. Though there is first of all the specific IMS panels and commands are now more streamlined so that they behave in the same way as the base commands, and the special policy definitions that were necessary for IMS and the special handling of bringing up, for example, an IMS control region, all of that now behaves in the same way as for other resources. Second, we introduced something which we call suspend resume automation manager activities. In the situation where, for example, the operator by mistake started to shutting down the wrong sysplex and he didn't pay attention to the confirmation panel, there was no way to interrupt that. With the suspend option, the operator can now inform or tell the automation manager to suspend processing of that agent. What that means in detail is that the automation manager is not sending any start or stop order to the specified agent. Then, of course, the operator, he can then start to relax. He can start think how to correct that. He might remove the stop request that he had made earlier and then resume processing. So it's a kind of last resort possibility given to the operators. Point number seven is probably something that is of more interest for your colleagues, the system proc. If you are running IO ops, which controls your IO configuration, a function in IO ops is what is called safe switching. And in order to accomplish that, the various IO ops, they communicate with each other. In the past, that communication was purely via SNA. However, customers told us that they want to departure from an SNA network, but they couldn't due to the IO ops talking with each other. Now with 3.2, the communication between the various IO ops can be done via IP. And that is what we provide in 3.2. The support is such that it can be intermixed. The two IO ops can talk as an A, while maybe one of that IO ops can communicate with another IO ops via TCP/IP. Point number eight talks about the customer needs. I mentioned that already. We have addressed more than 60 FITS requirements in this release. In particular, just to give you an example, we made some enhancements to the ING group command to show you or the operator which of the application group attributes have been modified, for example. Or we provided quantimer support in the policy definitions, just to mention two. Slide number eight shows you point number nine, and that talks about some significant performance improvements that we made within 3.2. Let me briefly touch each of them. First of all, we improved significantly the file update performance. Customers in the past, in the previous release 3.1, told us that they like the function, but that if you are going to make many changes via the file update, that the performance isn't as they would have expected. We looked at that, and we have now changed the algorithm how we do that, and we are reaching an improvement factor by 4 to 5. So in other words, running the same file update between 3.1 and 3.2, it's 5 times faster in 3.2. At the same time, we also improved the bulk update to the NMC, to the Rodham database. The interface here is the ING POST, and what we did in the past, each status change that was indicated by the automation manager caused an individual ING POST command sent to the NMC focal point. We no longer do that. We now collect these status change notifications that the automation manager sends out, and we do that now in a bulk ING POST. So that reduces the traffic to the NMC focal point, plus it reduces the processing time needed on the focal point to update Rodham. However, the most important improvement that we made was within the automation manager. You need to understand that each communication that an agent is doing with the automation manager is done by means of a work item. So via a work item, the automation manager is instructed to do something or to provide information. And what we did in 3.2 was to significantly improve the work item throughput. And the way we do that is by bulking or by collecting, let me back up. While we looked at the performance, we figured out that the majority of the time spent within the automation manager is making updates or doing IOs to the so-called takeover file. This was necessary because any change made to the automation manager needs to be persistent, needs to be pertained when the automation manager is either abandoning or started again, so that we always have the latest status of the resources within the automation manager. So what is really slowing down, or what was slowing down, was these IOs. They took the majority of the time spent within the automation manager. What we now do is we give you an option so that you can say, I do not want that each IO is immediately done when each work item is processed. We give you an option where you say, okay, collect all of the IO that is necessary for, let's say, 2 or 3 or 5 seconds, and then we do these IOs in one jump. And that speeds up the performance within the automation manager. Point number 10 is enhances the automation policy report. First of all, we introduced a so-called symbol report. Customers using AOC clones had problems to understand in which definitions a particular symbol is used and what the value of that symbol was, and we are giving now a report. The second enhancement was customers also told us that they liked the HTML report, but that the HTML report was so huge that it didn't fit within the browser, so the browser was not able to handle that huge file. The way we changed that is we are now splitting the file in multiple pieces. We do that under the cover automatically, and we also provide linking of the various pieces. So once you start browsing a particular HTML report, you would not notice that it in reality consists of multiple pieces. Finally, we automatically provide an option where the HTML report can be stored on a shared HFS. So that eliminates the need for your various operators or users to download the report on their personal ThinkPad or PCs. The source is only once there in the HFS, and everyone can access it. Right, that was a brief overview about what the 3.2 functions are. Let me now briefly go through some details. Slide number 10 talks about nested class. Most of them is already said. Less definition work, reduced redundancy, well-structured data. In the past, you could have something, if you click on it, on that slide, you could have something as shown on the left side of the slide, where you have classes and various instances and so on. With the nested class, click on it twice, please. It's more structured, and you see it's less. It would result in less definition work, and it's more structured. However, it requires some thinking about it. You need to think about how you are going to structure that. That needs to be done before making the definition. Another beauty of the nested class support is the visualization. In the past, a user could not distinguish whether or not a particular attribute was defined on the instance level or on the class level. And that is what we now do is. We show by means of different colors, we show if the attribute comes from the class and or the instance. And we make that visible to you. The advantage is no waste of time searching through lots of panels, and of course there is also no longer any annoying duplicate definitions that is made due to the fact that you do not know where the definitions were made in the past. To give you an example here on slide 12, that is the message processing panel as you used to see it in 3.1, for example, and now I'm making the equivalent for 3.2. If you click on the page down button, you will see now that certain definitions are shown in red. That is an indication that these definitions derive from a class specification rather than the instance. So you see immediately where the definition came from. In the case you wanted to see on from which class that particular definition came from, I'm now on slide 13. There is a new command called cn. Click on it, please. Click a second time, and now you put the cursor underneath of the field where you like to see where it came from, and then you click on it, and you see now a little pop-up which shows the class name as well as the description of the class. So at any point in time, you have immediately feedback to see where a particular definition came from. Slide 14 shows you the new API that can be used within REC scripts in order to obtain information about a particular resource. For example, what the command prefix is, what the status is, what the resource category is, such as IMS, CSS, and so on. And you can do that to use that interface also from the automation table. For example, you can specify let's look at the example, which says, okay, only if the resource is either in breaking or broken status or is in stopping status, only if that situation is true, I want to drive a particular script or command. In the past, you had to do that by writing your own scripts in order to check the status of the resource and then issue the command itself. Nowadays, you can do that by means of the ING $query AT function. A similar function is also available for REC scripts. Slide 15 is keeping track about the application lifecycle. That is what I used to talk earlier about, and I refer to it as the availability and recovery time reporting. As already said, at specific times, there will be SMS records written automatically if you told SA to do so. We do that at when the resource is started, when it is active, when it is stopped, and when it is down. And then by simple calculation of the various timestamps, we provide you information about how long a particular resource was active, how long it was down, how long it took to start up and shut down. There's a utility that SA provides called the INGPU SMF that is going to read the various SMF records and to pull out the SMF records that are produced by SA. It produces a report file, and the report file is in such a format that it can easily be read in or imported into a spreadsheet. And that is, the slide shows the example of such a spreadsheet, and then once it is in a spreadsheet, you can easily manipulate it. The beauty of this is also that we automatically determine already the startup shutdown and active time. We automatically calculate it for you, so you do not have to do any calculation at all. Slide number 17 talks about the sample policies. Most of them is already said. We made major enhancements starting in the last release to reshape the sample policies. They reflect best practices. We enhanced the KICS, the IMS, the Omega Mon or ITM policy database, but we also provided new policies for IBM Comp as well as for TBSM. What we also did is we provide figures or PDF files that contains the various pieces within the sample policies and also the relationship that exists between these various pieces. So by looking at the figures that is provided for each of the sample policies, you get a good understanding what the system automation development team or how the SA development team provided the automation for that particular middleware. Slide number 18 talks about the KICS Plex SM integration. In 3.1, actually in 2.3, we started with something which we call the monitoring resource, and in this release, we added a subscription model. In the past, it was a poor polling model where we periodically went to, for example, to Omega Mon Classic and pulled out the exceptions. Now in 3.2, we added the subscription model. So via the policy, you define monitored objects that you like to look at, and if that monitored object is related or defined within a KICS Plex SM, we take that information, we automatically subscribe for these objects, and if KICS Plex SM now fires an event for that particular object, we automatically get informed. We convert that information that we obtain from KICS Plex SM, we convert that into some information that is then fed into the monitoring infrastructure, and that is then used to set the health status for the resource. The advantage in doing so is that you can now monitor things like links, files, transactions, transient data queues, journals, actually everything that KICS Plex SM keeps track of, you can now start monitoring and use that information in your automation. Slide number 19 talks about the linked health monitoring with the new KICS Plex SM infrastructure that we provide. We provide also a new means to deal with KICS links and also with health monitoring. So the old support is still there, but our recommendation is to over time to adapt to the new approach. There is a sample provided, and as far as KICS Plex SM is concerned, we also provide the event listener that automatically subscribes to KICS Plex SM for any of the events that you have defined in the SA policy. Extended status commands, I'm now on slide 20, is as I said, an extension of the status commands. What you can now do is you can define in the policy certain commands to be executed based on the status of another resource. With status commands, you could only do it based on the status of your own resource. Now you can do it for other resources as well. Right now, the status is limited to up and down. What you can accomplish with this is shown on the next slide, and that is an animated slide that shows you an example for extended status commands. The situation here is that you have a TCP/IP resource that that is currently not running, and you have what I call a consumer that is MQ, and as soon as a TCP/IP is up, you want to start listening to a certain port. That is the user scenario, and you can accomplish that by means of extended status commands. I'm now clicking through the slide so that you see what's going on here. Right now, there are two ports, 123, as well as port 456, which is used by another consumer. Right now, TCP/IP is not up. So the situation now is, if in the case TCP/IP comes up, then automatically SA looks in the policy, it finds definitions that need to be processed in the situation where TCP/IP becomes up, for example, to start the MQ listener, and that is exactly what we do. And now the MQ listener is listening to port 123. I'm clicking again on it in the situation where now the port becomes unavailable or TCP/IP becomes unavailable. Again, we now drive, as that is done automatically, we drive commands that are defined in the policy in the situation that TCP/IP is down. And again, what is appropriate here is to stop the MQ listener. So by means of simple policy definitions, you have a means to react to the status of a so-called provider. In this particular case, it would be TCP/IP. Alarming, I'm now on slide 23, alarming via SAIOM. I mentioned already that this is interfacing with IOM, the new part of the SA family. The alarming happens, it's done by pager, SMS, email, voice. There is an automated escalation process, though in case the target recipient or the target person who is supposed to receive the alarm isn't responding to it in a certain time period, then there is an automatic escalation process. IOM automatically then informs the next set of recipients that are defined. In SA-ZOS, there is a set of predefined alert points, as I used to call them. A typical example is a critical threshold exceeded situation, or when running out of stop commands, or in case of an application group, when the application groups has a problem compound status. It is highly customizable. You can indicate via policy whether or not you do not want to have that particular alert point or activated. You can do that also on a per-resource basis. There's a new command called ING alert that allows you to define your own alert to be sent out. The command is called ING alert, and of course it can be, that command can also be given from within the automation table. Not all of the SA agents need to communicate with SAIOM. Only one of the agents has to do that. So there is mechanisms in place that the agents talk to each other in order to determine who has the link to IOM, and that agent is then used to hand over the alarm to IOM. Suspending Automation Manager Processing, slide 24. You see here, I talked already earlier about that. You see here the user interface. We have enhanced the ING AMS command to provide additional options such as suspend system or resume system, and you can specify here either one system name or multiple system name, or you can also specify asterisk all to indicate all systems. There is some details. That means the list of suspended systems is automatically shown when using the ingmf details command. Now let me switch gears and talk about the OmegaMon interoperation. Let me briefly start with the roadmap. We already started doing our very first steps with the integration shortly after the candidate acquisition. We provided sample policies for most of the OmegaMon components. Then in 3.1, we provided integration with what I call the OmegaMon Classic, which is the OmegaMon MVS, DB2, CSS, as well as IMS. And I touched that briefly, in the first quarter of this year, we provided TEP support, where we are going to feed information about the SA resources into the TEP and made it then visible there. And then finally, in 3.2, we provide integration with OmegaMon XA. And I did that. There is additional integration coming out in the future. In particular, we are thinking of providing automation solutions based on certain critical situation or events. Slide number 27 talks about, and this is just to give you an update or an overview, is about the classic integration. In 3.1, we provided an API that allows you to easily communicate with OmegaMon without that you have to deal with the details, for example, how to set up a session with OmegaMon, what the green capture interface looks like in order to pull out information from the OmegaMon. All of that is hidden by means of that API that we provide. The slide number 28 gives you an idea how basically that interface works. It's an animated slide, so you need to click through it. It starts with a monitoring resource that periodically retrieves OmegaMon exceptions. When you define the MTR resource, you indicate what the polling interval is. We then contact that particular OmegaMon, pull out the exceptions that exist at that point in time. We are going to filtering the exceptions, since that MTR resource is only interested on one or maybe two of the exceptions. We pass that information by means of the message to the message automation table. Then within the message automation table processing, based on the exceptions that causes a health status to be determined, and again, using information that are in the policy defined, alternatively, or in addition, you can also react to certain exceptions by means of the health status, of the recovery for that health status. You can communicate with the OmegaMon XA, for example, to obtain additional information, but it could also be used to propagate the health status to the APL or APG resource that particular monitor resource is attached to or linked to. So that gives you an overview about what the exception monitoring architecture looks like. And that is provided by 3.1 already. In spring this year, we provided the TEP support. I'm on slide 29 now. Here again, we give you information about all of the SA resources, resource overview. We give you information about the details. We show you how many requests are outstanding or are injected or entered into the system. We give you installation-defined status items. We give you information about automation statistics and OmegaMon sessions. This is what we do in 3.1, And that hasn't been changed in 3.2. But, of course, the intention is to provide more in the future. OmegaMon XA integration is something which is new in 3.2. It comes in two flavors. One of them is to obtain, to perform health-based application automation based on situations, and to access additional data that the other OmegaMon monitoring products feed into the TEMPS. Talking about situations, you can manage situations, you can activate them, acknowledge them, you can reset them, and all of that. The interface itself, as I already said, is via a SOAP server, but you do not have to worry about that. All of that complexity is completely covered and done by SA. To give you an idea what you could do, for example, data are stored in the TEMPS that result in the SA resource workplace, showing you the details about the resource that could result in a situation. By the way, I'm on slide 31, and that also has lots of animation, so you have to click through it. A situation will then be executed in SA. In SA, for example, there is a script invoked that retrieves additional information about the situation. It acknowledges the situation. It then obtains additional information from the TEMPS. It then processes the data, and it then resets the situation, and eventually it updates the automation component or the resource within SA. And the beauty out of all of this is there is one single command that is doing that. So you only have to deal with the ing omx command that is used to interface with OmegaMon XA. Slide 32 is giving you a big picture, and here is an example where you have defined in the TEMPS a situation. For example, you want to get informed when the local page data set is full, and or another situation when the page data set is not operational. In this case, you have defined that in the TEMPS, and you indicated that a certain command should be executed. So that command actually is a NetView command. It's an SA command, but the command is executed on the NetView where SA runs on. And the command is called ing sit. And this command then is used to feed the information that are associated with that particular situation into a new message that we generate. It's the ing 150 message, which is then fed into the automation table, and based on definitions in the automation table, it sets the health status, and then depending on the health status, recovery commands can be processed. For example, you could add additional page data sets. So that gave you a brief overview about the functional flow when a situation occurs that you have defined in the TEMPS. Slide number 33 talks about the SOAP interface. Remember, I told you earlier, interfacing with OmegaMon XA means SOAP. You communicate with the so-called SOAP server, which then, in fact, then continues to talk with the TEMPS, and you do that by sending an XML document to the SOAP server. The beauty of the SA support now is that you do not have to worry about the details, how an XML document is composed and constructed. All of that is done under the cover by means of system automation. A typical example is what you can do is you can manipulate a situation, for example, acknowledge a situation or accept a situation or deactivate a situation But in most cases, probably you are interested in obtaining more additional data about a particular resource or situation. And you do that by setting up a SOAP request, and let me show that on the next slide, how that is done. Slide 34 shows the ING-OMX interface, and you see there is a new option which is called SOAP request, and the only thing what you need to do is you need to specify what the name of the server is, and you have defined then details about the server, that details about the server in the SA policy, for example, what the IP address is, port number, and so on. And then you indicate some basic information what that kind of request is. Then SA goes ahead, takes the data, puts it into the appropriate XML format, sends it out to the SOAP server, waits for the return information to be returned, then it decomposes or passes the returned XML document and provides you then with some raw data, as shown on slide 35. This is an example where you ask about the address space CPU utilization. It's a kind of a SQL kind of query that you are doing. You indicate you specify the type of query, and you indicate on which informational unit you are interested in. The informational units are defined by an attribute tag. For example, you say I'm interested in the job name, I'm interested in the address space ID, and of course I'm interested in the percentage, the CPU percentage. So this is something you have to do set up. And once you provide that information to SA, then SA is doing the remaining piece, putting it into an XML document, sending it out, obtaining the output from the temps via the SOAP server, and then deciphering the XML document, and it gives you back something as shown on the bottom of the screen. And you see that you get raw data, three columns. You ask for the job name, the address space ID, and the percentage. And of course, the ING-OMX command can be used within the pipe, so then by means of simple pipe techniques, you can then start manipulating the returned output. Talking about migration and coexistence, slide 36, moving on to slide 37. And you see here the coexistence. What that slide is telling you that every release that is still in service, including SA 2.3, will be supported and can be intermixed with 3.2. So, in other words, once you have a policy, regardless what release it is, that will be automatically converted into a 3.2 format as soon as you start opening that policy with the 3.2 customization dialog. That then builds a 3.2 ACF, and that 3.2 ACF can be read in and processed by a 3.2 agent, by a 3.1 agent, and by a 2.3 agent. This assumes that you have installed the appropriate compatibility APAS for the corresponding release. What you also should notice, there is no support for an agent running 2.2. Why? 2.2 is since many years out of service, and that is why we have not provided any compatibility support for that release. As far as the Automation Manager is concerned, a 3.2 ACF can be read in by a 3.2 manager, by a 3.1 manager, or even by a 2.3 manager, and the takeover file is also compatible. Though you can go back and forth, as far as your Automation Manager is concerned, between any of the supported releases, 2.3, 3.1, and 3.2. So this gives you an idea about coexistence and intermixing the various releases of SA with each other. Summary, slide number 39, just to wrap it up. In 3.2, we addressed some of our key users by making the policy definitions easier. I talked about each of them in great detail. We simplified the automation. I talked about each of these points too. Extended status commands, improved group behaviors, on-demand desired status, as well as thresholds for minor resources. Slide 41 talks about making the automation admin's life easier. I spoke briefly about the alert escalation function via SAIOM. I spoke about the availability and recovery time reporting, a very neat function in 3.2. I talked about the new monitoring routine that can be used for MVS subsystems that are not related or not running in an address space. I talked about the new API, the ING dollar query and ING query that can be used to obtain resource attribute information. I haven't spoken about a new command called ING modify. What that command does, it gives you the ability to temporarily, for the next start up or shut down of an application, to modify the start or the stop command. So in the past, what you had to do is, you had to go to the customization dialogues, you had to modify the policy, you had to do a build, you had to do an activate in order to try a new variation of the start or stop command. With the ING modify, you no longer need to do that. You specify what the next start or stop command is, and then as soon as that resource starts or stops, SA will automatically pick up your modified command, use that instead of the one defined in the policy. And finally, the operations life we have also made easier. We did that by the IMS panel modernization, so that it follows that it has the same look and feel, and it follows the same interaction you used to have with, for example, with ING list or disk start. We provide a suspend and resume automation manager processing, and there are various other command enhancements that make it easier for the operator. And that brings me to the end, and I'd like to thank you for your attention. If there are questions, I'm welcomed to answer them if I have the knowledge.
And for our phone audience, if you do have a question or comment at this time, you may signal by pressing *1 on your touchtone telephone. Once again, that's star followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone at this time. We do ask those participants who are using speakerphones to please make sure that your mute function is turned off so that your signal can reach our equipment. Once again, that is *1 if you have a question or comment at this time. And Mr. Shupin, there are no questions.
Okay, then I'd like to thank you.
And that does conclude today's teleconference. We'd like to thank everyone for their participation and wish everyone a great day.
Okay, bye.